I have a bad habit. How many people have bad habits? Okay, I have a bad habit. Here's how it works. I was at the softball game on Thursday evening. And when I go to a softball game and I see somebody hit a home run, I go, "Wah!" And I hoot and holler. I mean, I do that. And then is that true or false? That is true. And my wife is embarrassed. I'm not. I mean, that's a natural response. Or if a guy catches a ball, I mean, out in the field, that's got to be something special. I mean, Thursday night, someone had a triple and I hooted and hollered. Someone in the outfield, I tell you what, there was a ball hit out there and this guy came in and he just landed and he grabbed that thing and I thought, and I hooted and hollered and I was amazed until I looked at the plate and I thought, ooh, that's the other team. I was a little embarrassed, but I acted, oh, I always do that. If it's a good play, it doesn't matter who it is. And I didn't regret that. How many have ever been to a football game? Winning touchdown. You know what happens? Everybody in the seats stands up. Yahoo! They yelp and they go on. They're nuts. I have done that. Three-pointers, not so much. Last second takedown, very much. And in fact, I was on my headphone one day, and I'm sitting there with my laptop, got the headphones on, and I was watching collegiate wrestling, and one guy got a takedown, and I screamed, yes, and my wife, she wasn't very happy with me. I think I scared her. Folks, some of you are going to be scared out of your wits when you get to glory. Now, I'm warning you. I'm just telling you up front. Now, why do you say that? Well, I want you to watch this, because as this whole thing unfolds, this is amazing. I love chapter 4 and chapter 5 of Revelation more than I loved 3 or 4 weeks ago. Here's how it goes. And I saw, and I'm going to go ahead and read this. I can even read it from, I'm more comfortable just here. I feel closer. And you like the back of my head better than the front anyway, so I'll go ahead and read it. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Now, we've already read this, but we're taking a running start, okay? So we get it all. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept like a baby. So I wept much because no one was found worthy or qualified to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Hey, John, knock it off, will you?" It's not what he said. But here's what he says. "Do not weep. Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed past tense." Now, I want to pause here real quick. I didn't hoop and holler until after the ball was caught. I don't hoop and holler until after the home run. You don't hoop and holler until after the field goal is made, okay? So after the fact, something that this qualified person did, and now this is important, something that he had already done that qualified him. Not what he's going to do, but what he had done. And that's important. So he has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its 7 seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And here's where we get into the new stuff. Verse number 8. Now, we're in heaven. I mean, we're watching. John is watching this. He is recording as best he could. He didn't have his camera. He didn't have his cell phone to take pictures or a smartphone. He has words, and that's it. And so he's trying to describe this. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a gold or a harp, a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, what is it? Go ahead. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Now, I guarantee you, if you were right here where John is, you'd be shouting this, okay? But we're polite and we're sort of calm down, but we're not going to do that this morning. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, I'll go ahead and hit this one, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, I think that includes everybody, okay? Even the creatures. And all that are in them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Wow. How many looking forward to heaven? How many looking forward to the process? I tell you, we're strange people. You know, I'm not afraid to die, I'm not afraid to die, I'm not afraid to die. But you know what, when we get sick, what do? We panic. Not that I should just sit there, I got a splinter on my thumb, I'll wait till it gets infected and I'll die of infection. Now, that sounds intelligent. What's wrong with that guy? Yeah, you would say that. No, we take precautions, but you know what, when it's my time to go, it's like, Lord, here I am, take me. How many are with me? Yeah, well, let me think about it, okay? Tell me, and that's okay. The attention of heaven focused on a scroll and a lamb. We're going to go through this briefly because we need to get a running start. Attention had been focused on a single scroll. We had seen that. The filled up scroll was held in the palm of the Father's right hand. The right hand symbolizing authority and power. Now, who has it? The Father. He's got the scroll in the right hand, the palm. It is open. It is ready. Someone step forward and take it. But you have to be qualified. The secret of God's redemptive plan and the future history of God's creation was offered to anyone qualified to unseal it. A mighty angel announces the need to all creation. We have a need here. We have a need. We need someone qualified to open the scroll. Guess what? There are no takers. No one is qualified. When no one steps forward, John sobs desperately. I was looking for a word that would be better than desperate. But he sobs uncontrollably. He sobs from the depths of his heart. John is relieved as an elder announces that someone has stepped forth to take the scroll and open the seals. He is eminently qualified by virtue of his sacrificial death and bodily resurrection. This worthy one bears the marks of death. In fact, when he showed up to the disciples afterwards, remember after the resurrection? What did he say? Thomas, check out the nail prints in my hand. Go ahead, stick your hand in my side. He still has the prince. When you get the glory, you'll be able to see him. You know what? Because he still has the prince. And I'm still thinking he has the wounds, the scars on his forehead. I think he bears those marks for all eternity in his human body. The marks of death and the signs of the fullness of divine omnipotence, dominion, and omniscience. And now he takes the center stage. The worship of heaven is toward the Lamb. Now, this is incredible. This is good stuff. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now, folks, if I were preaching this in some churches, I would be going against their doctrine. There are some churches, there are some cults, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Now, I'm just saying the truth, okay? And this would not be very appealing. Oh, they sing the songs of Christmas. And you listen to the songs. And you know what? We hear them. I'm talking about Christmas. What in the world are we doing? But you hear them in the malls, and everybody likes the songs of Christmas. But people who sing the Christmas carols really don't believe it. They don't believe them. You read through some of them. Some of our Christmas hymns, Christmas, or whatever you want to call them, man, they've got some doctrine in them. And they've got some teaching in them. Is Jesus Christ God in the flesh? Veiled in flesh to the what? The Godhead see. Folks, most people who sing that don't believe it. We'll leave it at that. Anyways, those who had witnessed the transfer of the scroll responded with profound relief and joy. Irrepressible. I like that word. That's a new word. Irrepressible. That means you can't hold it back. It's like that two-year-old. You just can't keep control of him. Where is he now? It's joy. Joy what? Joy, irrepressible, profound relief in worshiping the Lamb. The four living beings. Finally, somebody's going to take the scroll. The four living beings and 24 elders responded. And again, I may, you, and you, if you want to fill in the blank, if you're filling, you can put reacted. Because react, it means there's no thinking. It's boom. It's automatic. Respond, it means it runs through. And there are some things in heaven that are reactions. Man, you just do it. And we see some of those. So if you like the word reacted in worship, that's fine. Of the Lamb, the Messiah, who'd been slain, and now he lives. The worshipers held items that symbolize worship and prayer directed to the Lamb. A harp has 10 or 12 strings. See, I didn't know that before this week, so I'm learning these things. Well, I guess I did, but it was in the back of my brain. And it's the instrument of singing the Psalms. Ah, yeah, we're familiar with those. And David's instrument of choice. I like that. David played the harp. What did he do? He played one of these. And so they must have ordered a bunch from the earth and had them delivered up to heaven sometime. I don't know when they did that. Prayer in this scene is not praise, but petition. And what happens? These folks here, they are bowls. Are they literal bowls? They are symbolic. They are filled with incense. The incense usually rises up, and it's like the prayers. And God, the prayers of his people. And that's the symbol that's going forth. Again, we haven't pieced this all together. We know it's a scene in heaven. We know that John saw it. Is this exact thing happening today? I don't know, but if I had to decide, I would say, you know what? I'm leaning towards yes. This is what goes on in heaven. Well, the four living creatures and the 24 elders now fall down before the Lamb, just as they had previously fallen before the one who sat on the throne. And there is no hesitancy. They don't hesitate. Man, they're right at it. When he takes the scroll, they're down on their faces before the Lamb. Now, when somebody goes down on their face, what are they doing? You tell me. Go ahead. Worshiping. They are bowing down. They are worshiping before the Lord. Did they worship the Father on the throne? Answer, absolutely. Are they worshiping the Lamb? Answer, absolutely. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. We have a problem. No, we don't. We have one God in three persons. Can you explain that, Pastor? Answer, go ahead. No. But that's what the Word of God teaches. There's enough evidence there that I understand that. I don't understand a lot of things. Anybody with me? There are a lot of things that I believe that I do not understand, and we won't get into that. Is there anyone who would argue against the deity of Jesus, the Messiah? And again, I'll tell you what, the two cults that I mentioned, and I'll call them cults, that's what they are, the two cults I mentioned, they do a lot of exegetical gymnastics. You know what that means? That means taking the Word of God and changing it here and there, and they've got a new world translation. You've got this, you've got this, you've got this, and they exegetical gymnastics to show that, oh, Jesus never claimed to be God. Folks, Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Yeah, I believe that. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Amen. He has to be. He has to be. The Word of God says so. Those who had witnessed the transfer of the scroll sang a new kind of song to the Lamb. They sang, affirmed, and witnessed to his worthiness to take the scroll and to break its seven seals. Folks, new songs, man, I love this song. The four songs we sang this morning, I love the old song. We start out with, you know, the problem with old songs is some people think you got to drag them along. What did we sing this morning? What is it? How great thou art. Okay. Just thank you. You think I forgot. I didn't. Oh, Lord my God. When you sing it like that, put me to sleep. Folks, I'm not young, but you know what? I love the way we sing the hymns. I love the way we sing. And folks, that's the problem. When old people, and again, you're not old people here. You're young. You're fine. You're okay. You drag the songs, anybody will say, man, this is dead. You know what? The songs that we sang, four songs. How many sang four songs? Some of you didn't get in on the first one, okay? But we sang four songs. You know what? Those are newer songs, and we need that. The angels in glory sang the new songs. And so this morning, they're singing a new song. His worthiness to take the scroll and to break its seals. They ascribed his worthiness to his act of submission to the Father's will, his voluntary sacrificial death. What did he do to get the applause of heaven? He died on the cross. The cross, the cross, the cross. They acknowledged the fact that it was his shed blood that purchased them out of slavery. Is this antiphonal? Now, what does that mean? That means I sing and then you respond, or I sing and then you sing. It's going back and forth. Now, the reason I say that is this. I'm okay with the first one there. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seven seals. Who's singing that? Well, you got the four living creatures or the living beings, and you got the 24 elders. Now, the 24 elders probably represent 12 men from the Old Testament, possibly Judah and Reuben and those guys. They represent the 12 tribes. And the other 12, they represent the New Testament apostles. So you got people who are redeemed. They're human. By faith alone, in Messiah alone, they're saved. And so I'm okay with that. But when you get to, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God. Oh, wait a minute, we got a problem. Because the four living creatures were never redeemed. And so here's how this goes, I think. You were slain, or you were worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Who has that part? The four living creatures. And then on the other side, everybody else says, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. They acknowledge the fact that it was his shed blood. By the way, the death of Christ broke the stranglehold of principalities and powers. They know, and Christ made a show of them publicly. Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, humiliated the powers and authorities of the evil one. What a wonderful thing. Hope you know that. Colossians 2:15. The centrality of the cross and its meaning as a redemptive act comes repeatedly to the forefront and should dominate our understanding throughout Revelation. As you read through the book of Revelation, you are going to notice the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the Lamb, the shed blood, the shed blood. I think 28 times the Lamb occurs to. It's all about Jesus. It's all about what he has done, because what he has done on the cross qualifies him. He has paid the debt for all mankind. He's done it. Therefore, anyone who rejects him, anyone who does not accept the Son, hey, that's their problem. Why? Because their debt has been paid. They just didn't take advantage of it. Take advantage isn't the right. It's good enough. You understand what I'm talking about. They recognize the diversity of the redeemed. The Messiah did not overlook any people group in the planet. None. You were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Folks, that's everybody. For God so, say it with me, ready? You need some practice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you see anybody that's omitted? Your neighbor's omitted? We have a prison ministry. Oh, well, prisoners, no, it doesn't include that. Oh, yeah, it does. How about in Lithuania, where we have a prison ministry? It includes them. How about everybody on the planet? And I'm not getting into specific people groups, but folks, that covers everyone. We have a responsibility as a body of believers to make sure that we sort of encourage folks toward this. Everybody. They recognize the undeserved privileges that the redeemed have been granted. Obviously, they anticipated a future age in which these privileges would be activated and experienced. You were slain, you redeemed us to God, verse 10, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Christ's sacrifice has made it possible for all God's people drawn from the nations of the earth to be both royalty and priests in the new kingdom of God. The reference to the earth is best taken to refer to the future eschatological kingdom reign of Christ. Eschatological, last things. There will be a kingdom, Christ will reign, and somehow, folks, you and I will participate in that. I don't know how. I have a few things that just ran across my thought, but you're not interested in hunting or fishing, so we'll not do that. I'm not really interested in fishing. Pastor, keep on moving. Okay, the worship of all heaven is focused on the Lamb. Now, look what happens. The apostle lifted his eyes and heard more worshipers join in the heavenly chorus singing to the Lamb. They encircled the throne where the Father and the Lamb are located, where the focus of the drama is being played out. This is amazing. The four beings and elders are joined in their singing by a number of angelic beings, too numerous to count. Now, folks, they didn't have big numbers. They didn't know what a national debt was. Trillions. What's a trillion? I still don't know what a trillion is. My question is, if I stood here today and started counting to a trillion, how long would it take me? And don't get out your smartphone and figure that out, okay? You know, I don't think I would make it. In fact, I don't think you could take a two-year-old And even if he were the brightest kid in the nursery, I don't think if he started and he kept on his mouth going nonstop, which sometimes you think happens, I don't think if he counted forever, I don't think he could ever reach a trillion. In some cultures, 10,000, that's as far as they go. What do you need bigger numbers than that for? And so in Israel and in the apocalypse, we find that's the hugest number you got, okay? Well, you got 144,000 later on. But there are more than 100 million voices in this choir. Now, if I did my math correctly, here's how it goes. 10,000 times 10,000, that's 10,000 has how many zeros? Has four. That means if you multiply 10,000 times 10,000, how many zeros does it have? Eight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's it. 100 million plus. And you got thousands and thousands. You got a couple of extras. Folks, that is amazing. That is astounding. You have 100 million angels, and that's the choir. That's amazing. The heavenly choir again worships and affirms in song the worthiness of the slaughtered, now living lamb. And the word slain means slaughtered, okay? Interestingly, but not surprising, seven items are mentioned here. He is worthy. Four attributes, and how do you divide this up to talk about? Four attributes of Christ celebrate his power, his wealth, his wisdom, and his strength. Well, isn't power the same as strength? No, I'm going to give you a Greek lesson here in a minute. You can handle it. But that's what they celebrate. These self-defining attributes appear throughout. Power, wealth, wisdom, strength. Revelation 12b. Here we go. Are you ready? No, Pastor, don't do this to us. Here we go. Atzion, worthy is the Lamb to, oh no, that word there, the slain one, to receive. And here we go. What does he receive? Dunamis. Ah, dunamin, power. Next one is what? Pluton. What do you think that means? Go ahead, tell me, go ahead. Power. Well, look above. Riches. He's rich. He's wealthy. Sophon. Sophion. Oh, Sophia. Anybody Sophia? Don't raise your hand, guys, okay? Sophia, wisdom. So if you little girl Sophia, her name is wisdom. Iskun, that's the other word. It means power by virtue of authority. Timae, any Timmies in here? Any Tims in here? Honor, that's what it means. Doxa, doxology. How many have ever sung a doxology? If you don't raise your hand, you've never been in church before. Doxology, yeah, doxa, glory, eulogon. What do you do at a funeral? You have eulogy, that's it, eulogy, good words, praises. Folks, you know most of these words up here. That is what they sing to the Lamb. Why? Because he's worthy. He is worthy to receive honor, glory, and praise because he possesses perfectly, completely, these defining attributes. Those who know him intimately worship him in spirit and in truth, from the depth of their being and in accord with reality. See, truth means this is the way it is. Falsehood means that's the way it ain't. And so we worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? From the depths of my being and according to reality. For others, he is boring and mundane. Do you know that? Jesus is boring, God is boring, the Bible's boring, church is boring. Guess what? Somebody's got a problem. It's either me, because I have a problem, or it's God. Or it may be the church misrepresenting God. Folks, God is not boring. Every time I take a walk in the woods, I love the outdoors. The heavens what? Declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. Folks, if there's a problem with boring, guess who has it? I do! It's my problem. It's not God's problem. And it's my heart, and it's a heart problem. God is not boring. Some he is. The worship of all creation is focused toward the throne. Every created being in every part of creation responds, should we say, reacts in worship. Every creature in heaven, on the earth, he wants to make sure he catches everybody. Does that mean the seals and the whales and the, what are those, the M words? What are the mannequins? I love the audience responsive here. Mannequins. Manatees. Oh, I got it. See, that's what happens when you get the grandkids over and you're watching the kids' programs and you're doing something else at the same time. Everything. Well, Jesus said what? If you refuse to pray, even the what will cry out? Even the rocks will cry out. All creation resounds glory to God. And we sit here like, now, folks, I have no problem with quiet worship. There is a place for quiet. I love quiet. I like to sit in my tree stand in the fall and look at the leaves as they turn colors, and just, I love that. It's quiet. It's solitude, and it's adventure. But you know what? There's a time when you just beller. I mean, you shout. Well, we don't shout here. And I don't know that shouting's, you know what? There are a couple of times when I was, during the songs that I was, but, you know, I was going, but I don't do that. I might scare somebody. Somebody's sitting next to me. How many of you have ever been sitting next to somebody and they made a noise or the pastor made a noise and you watched them jump? I love to watch. No. All creation recognizes the Creator for who He is. All creation. And folks, every part of creation will at some point in time recognize who the Creator is. Well, what about this guy? They'll do it. That doesn't mean they're saved. That means they'll recognize. They all recognize and unreservedly affirm the attributes of this omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, eternal, sovereign God. In response to this overwhelming choir of praise and worship, the elders representing the redeemed from the Old Testament and New Testament fall on their faces before the eternal God. Far beyond the precincts of the throne, there arises an expression of praise and worth from the whole created universe, the one to the one on the throne and to the Lamb. Now I want you to follow along here, because this transitions sort of to next week. With this incredible scene, John and the reader, that would be you and me, have been prepared so that we will not be totally overwhelmed by the nature of what is about to happen on the earth. Earthly catastrophe of the magnitude of that which follows and human suffering in general are made palatable by an adequate understanding of the person and purposes of God and the perfect will and worship of God as practiced in heaven. Now, what does that mean? That means, folks, when you get a good grip on who God is and His glory and His majesty and His wisdom and all of that, then when you move into chapter number 6, you'll say with those who, God is righteous, God is righteous, God is righteous. That's why, if you go to the book of Revelation, you start with chapter 6, you're not going to like God very much. You're going to call Him a beast, you're going to call Him an animal, you're going to call Him all sorts of things. Because God does some things in chapter 6 and following that we would not like done to us. You've got to have chapter 4 and 5. We witness the stands go wild, erupting at a three-pointer as the clock runs out, a buzzer-beating field goal, a last-second takedown, or a rousing quartet number. I'll tell you what. And you know what? I was down at Calvary, and we went to a music thing, and Ernie Haas was singing, I forget what song it is, and man, when he was done, you know what? Everybody came up. Woo! It was fantastic. It was amazing. Amazing. And you know what? No one has to tell the audience to applaud hysterically. They respond. They react. It's just what you do. And nobody has to look around. When you get a standing ovation and you wait for somebody, that's not a standing ovation. But when everybody rises up at the same time, folks, that's a standing ovation. That's what's going to happen. It ain't going to be a standing ovation. It's going to be a what? A bowing ovation. People will bow down. I don't know if they get on their knees. All I know is and that's why we bow our heads when we pray. It's going to be a bowing ovation. When we get to glory, worship will be the natural heart response to His presence. Wow. I love the book of Revelation. And I have enjoyed tremendously the last chapters 4 and 5. Not so much chapter 6 and following. The question this morning is this. Do you know the God and the Lamb, the Spirit of God, represented in chapters 4 and 5, well enough to face the future? Folks, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you really don't have a future.
All my life is fine without Him.
No, you're just pretending. You're a loser. Without Jesus Christ, you are a loser. That's awful blunt. Yeah, I know. What do you want me to do? Dance around, sweeten it up and everything? Folks, if you don't get this, you're going to die. If you don't get this, if you don't get Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. Now, I'm not saying that meanly. That's what the Bible teaches. And the only reason I can say that is on the authority of Scripture. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Before you step out of this building, here's how it goes. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that the wages of sin is death and I deserve to go to hell. Now, some people would have, well, I'm not as bad as the next guy. No, you're just as bad. We're all in the same boat. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the next one we've looked at this morning. He died for you. He died to pay for your sins. And then I pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve to die and go apart from you. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. Come into my life and be my Savior. Do you know him? Do you know him? Father, this morning we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love for us. We thank you for the cross this morning. Help us to glorify you as we celebrate the cross this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymn books, turn to number 5 this morning. Stand with me. This is a short one, intentionally. Let's stand together. Number 5, Be Exalted, O God.